Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact John and Sandy at 856-227-9200 or hop on their website at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. For all your Central Florida scooter needs, contact Scooter Vacations at 866-778-4748 or hop on their website at scootervacations.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Magical Main Street Memories Podcast, show number 103. I'm joined, as always, with my good buddy, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Good, Doug. How you doing this week?
I'm doing good. I just want to give a little shout-out to our sponsors. We got American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. So hop over on our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com and click on our sponsors and enjoy all their services. So you ready for another hot week here, Dan, up in the Northeast?
Yeah, I am. We just we had about 4 inches of rain the other day, so much needed, though. It was dry, but it's starting to heat up again, and I guess it's to be expected this time of year, so it's all good.
So you got hit by that hurricane. It was a little early for a hurricane this year. It's a little scary.
Yeah, usually you don't hear about those till late in the summer or even early fall, but for whatever reason, it just nipped us. We didn't really get the high winds, but it certainly brought a lot of tropical rains up from the south.
Yeah, poor Nags had, North Carolina got hit pretty good.
Yeah.
But they said they got lucky as you could get by being hit by a hurricane. You know what I'm saying?
That's lucky, right?
Yeah, so. But anyway, Dan, this week we're going to go over a little bit of news. I want to thank everybody for being patient with us, and you guys will know when this podcast is released, but we've been switching over servers and stuff, so thanks for your patience, and I hope you guys are still enjoying the shows. But we're just going to do a little bit of news this week, and that was basically the news on our podcast. So, but did you hear the Flying Fish Cafe is going to be offering breakfast in the fall for a limited time?
Yeah, I was reading that this morning, actually, and I think that's a good thing. There's a lack of breakfast offerings on the boardwalk. I mean, you have the bakery and with Cat Core is shutting down, I think they're searching for a new venue there. They say it's going to be for a limited time, but my guess is they're testing it, and depending on how successful it is, they may or may not decide to offer it, permanently. But, yeah, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, me too, because you need something over there. I mean, the boardwalk without Cat Cora's, they're kind of lacking for breakfast options. It's not – everybody don't realize that hotel's laid out. They're basically their restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, the first couple times I was there, I was like, wow, they don't even have a sit-down restaurant in the hotel. But you're right, as an extension of the boardwalk – by virtue of its name, those restaurants on the boardwalks serve as the boardwalk's restaurants as well.
Yeah, they're basically part of that resort, but you don't ever really – most people don't look at it that way,
right.
But they're actually the resort restaurants.
Exactly.
You know, when you look in the Birnbaum's book or whatever, they're those resort restaurants, but most people don't think of it too. They think of Cat Core as being privately owned, but basically ESPN, Cat Core, Flying Fish – the bakery, the Big River Brewing Company, they're basically all the boardwalk restaurants.
Right, right. And when you take them in total like that, it is a nice selection. But like we said, breakfast is certainly one of the meals of the day that is lacking. I mean, we usually, when we stay at the boardwalk, we take the boat over or even walk around the lagoon there and go over to
Cape May?
No, not Cape May. Captain's is it
Captain's Grill?
Yeah. Over at the Yacht Club. That's where we go for breakfast because they do have a small buffet there. And, it's sit-down, but it's, more akin to a, not table service. It's table service, I should say. But it's more like a, like one of the resort, like at Dixie Landings. It would be like the food court there, kind of. It's more elaborate than that, but it's similar.
Yeah, you take your food and go sit down.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you've had the buffet over there, I think you said, right?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, I mean, for a little hole in the wall, if you didn't know it was there, I mean, they have quite an offering, I think, and we enjoy going over there. So, yeah, but to get back to your comment about the flying fish, it'll be interesting to see how popular this is and how crowded it is or isn't, and I hope it is successful because, you know, I don't mind going to the bakery, but if you're there for a week, it can get a little old, and, you know, you can only have so many, you know, bagel sandwiches or, you know, croissants or whatever they're offering. I mean, it is truly a bakery, so to be able to get eggs and bacon and, you know, whatever else you might want, a true breakfast fare, it'd be nice to have it at the Flying Fish.
Yeah, they needed some kind of option, and I'm going to make all of our listeners crack up because I'm going to try to pronounce some of the things that are on the menu. The menu includes dishes such as waffles with tiramisu, mascarpone, soft polenta with fennel sausage, and fritta with roasted red peppers, prosciutto. So wow. I don't know how bad I hacked that, but
they sound good to me.
It sounds very sophisticated to me, Dan.
Right, right.
Us country folk ain't gonna be able to eat there, you know us.
Right.
You know us contractors.
Right.
Give me some of that waffle with mascarpone on.
Yeah.
We and you don't fit.
Nope.
But I'll tell you what's nice about that, Dan, when you take the walk over from the boardwalk to the Yacht and Beach Club, it works up the morning breakfast appetite.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get you going in the morning, that's for sure. But, hey, always like to see things added, right?
Oh, absolutely. And did you see the first look at the frozen skating rink?
Yeah, I was looking at that, too. To me, it looks like the boards are clear. Is that how you're looking at that photo? Like you
absolutely
can see through the boards, which is pretty unique. I've never seen that before.
Now, I'll be honest with you. Me and Brent are on the fence. We might try this when we go because my wife has never ice skated.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess you can rent skates, socks, and something else.
Yeah, it is. It's $10 per an hour, and you get the skates, and you get to skate with it.
I mean, it's certainly interesting. I mean they're doing bowling at Splitsville, so I don't see why skating can't be equally successful. Although I got to imagine the operating costs for the rink and all that are much more than the bowling alley. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, it is a big couple freezers, but the cost is 10 per person for 30 minutes, and that includes the ice skates, socks, and a helmet. And you can bring your own stuff if you want, it says.
Right, right. Yeah.
It still costs you $10 though.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, it's a very reasonable price for Disney World. It's just, you know, it'll be interesting to see how many people actually take advantage of this. And now this is all with that stuff that they're offering just through September, at least for right now, right, as far as we know?
Yeah, it begins July 5th through September 1st.
Right. I mean, I suppose they could extend it or make it permanent, but, it'll be interesting to see.
It's going to be nice to have some things to do that I'm looking forward to doing at the studios besides Toy Story.
Right, right.
And the writer's nook.
Right. I mean, again, you're right. It probably is something that it's worth trying. I mean, I don't know that I would do it going to Florida. I mean, being from the Northeast and being around ice and snow all the time, it'd be something if I'm going to Florida I wouldn't be personally interested in, but I could see where some people might get a kick out of that.
Well, me and my wife, it might be romantic to skate with the music on. Say we did it. I mean, everything's more special at Disney World, brother.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just think it might be cool. She's never done it, and doing it there with the ring aspect, I mean, around here you go on their skating rinks. They don't have enough room for – everything is hockey players.
Right.
You
right.
can't even go out there, and if you do, you're risking your life because you got like 75 kids on ice hockey skates doing 7,000 miles an hour
right.
around the rink.
No,
because I checked into it to take her, and it's like she'd never make it out there.
Right. I mean, back when I was a kid, I remember they used to have public skating hours and stuff like that. But you're right. Ice time is at such a premium because hockey's real popular now.
Especially up our way here
Right,
in the Northeast.
right. It's hard to get, you know, I think they used to offer it for like 2 hours, but it was, you know, no hockey sticks, no, you know, they used to have rink guards or whatever they called them and try to keep the keep people in line. But you're right. I mean, certainly this will be a family atmosphere. And
exactly. A bunch of little kids out there,
right.
Stuff like that, where my wife would just be chilling. She'd just be part of probably 80% of the people never have skated before.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, you're going to your local hockey rink, most people are skated. That's what they do. It's their hobby. Because I have friends, my buddy Kevin, they play it like they wait for ice time. They go out and they have full-time jobs and they're playing hockey at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only time you can get ice is at those off-peak times, if you will. So
exactly. You know, their league was scheduled for the 2 o'clock game, 2 a.m. game.
Yep.
The rings are open 24 hours.
Yep.
Close just an hour or whatever, like they do it. To, you know, just to clean.
Yep, just to run the Zamboni over it a couple of times, and that's it. But yeah, hey, it's something new. I'm all for it. I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's probably something I won't do, but I welcome it with open arms. Yeah.
Oh, me too. It's going to be open from park opening till 8 p.m. at night, so that's pretty long run.
Yeah, I know we kind of went over this the last podcast, and I don't think we came up with an answer. I think it says Sound Stage 1. I still don't have an idea of where that is. I'm. Do you have your bearings as to where Sound Stage 1 is in the park? Because I don't.
I think Sound Stage 1 is over there behind, it's over by Star Wars and over in that area.
Okay, so over by Indiana Jones, over that side of the park.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to envision this ice rink, and so it's inside, obviously, it's a sound stage.
Yes.
Okay, I guess I have a sense of where it is.
Yeah, it's going to be, they did a good job on it from what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, for something they kind of rolled out rather quickly here, all these Frozen-related activities at the studios, it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good time. And staying on the Frozen deal, did you see the new Frozen Magic Band?
Oh, yes. I saw the Frozen ones, and I think I saw Tangled ones, too. But,
I want Olaf.
I know. I'll bet you he'll sell out. Did they say how much those are, Doug?
$24 a piece.
So if you have a Magic Band, they'll transfer your information over to the new one if you purchase one? Is that how it works?
That's what I surmise. That's what I would think.
Right.
I mean, because what I'm getting is, and I could be wrong about this, but what I'm understanding is from other friends and family, like people I know going down, that have been down multiple times, you can actually, if you have all different colors, you can actually register all your bands to work that week.
So,
from prior trips.
So they'd all be the same. It just makes a duplicate is what you're saying.
Yes, they're all in the same. They're all on your reservation. You got to register all for your reservation.
Right.
But if you have multiple bands and you want to wear each band with your outfit that day, or like say you're wearing all blue and you have a blue band, and then the next day you're wearing red, you have a red band, those bands will all work if they're activated under your account for you. So if you have your season pass band.
Yep.
If you get one for that, and then when you go again, if you go again in October, like you're going, and you have your one from April,
right.
And they're all different colors, you supposedly could register all three of them to work on your account.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to do that, though. If somebody got a hold of one and you weren't aware of it, and they could charge and do, well, I don't know.
Well, exactly, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's so you can use them. They can be reused, let me put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, and that may be a new change, and I'm not doubting what you're saying. I just remember Pam from Be Our Guest podcast talking about this, and she said they have literally dozens of them, and they keep telling her that they can't reuse them. Like, she basically said the same thing. Why can't we, you know, I'm bringing my band from my last vacation. Why can't you put all my new stuff on that band? And she said at the time, and again, this was a few weeks ago, so things might have changed. But
yeah, because I've had people that I've talked to that have used different ones for the week.
Right.
That had them all activated. I think you got to activate them when you get there. I don't think they can activate them before, and I think the new one has to be sent out because it's one of those things that's part of your package.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So you can do it after the fact.
Exactly. When you check in, you could have your other bands activated.
That makes sense to me. And again, given that Disney's such an eco-friendly company, I just can't imagine that they'd purposely not try to recycle these or reuse them.
What it's for is in my opinion, it's part of the package. So if they don't send you one, they're in some kind of bookkeeping thing. Okay, you can't charge customer A the same as customer B because the Magic Band's not included in this package.
Right, right. And then
So it's some kind of loophole. I'm thinking that they have to send the bands out.
Yeah.
If you order the package, it has to be automatic because when you check in, like, say I don't – like, with me, it's going to be hard right now because I don't have any idea when I'm going.
Right.
So I don't – I'm going to probably end up with two gray bands the next time we go down there.
Right.
But everybody even gets one upon checkout in.
Yep.
They have to give you the band out, and I think that's all part of bookkeeping.
Yeah, you're probably right. There's a simple answer to it. We just don't know what it is, but I'm sure
you're on the phone and say, I already have my old band. Could you not charge me for the new one? I'm sure that has come up,
right,
and they don't
want
to add that little tab into the booking.
I hear what you're saying.
It's just hassle. Well, now you get there, and that old band's broke because little Timmy broke it with a hammer.
Right. Right. Now they got to issue you a new one and, do all that stuff.
I'm just sure they tested all the waters, and it's cheaper for them, believe me, for them to just give everybody new ones every time.
Right. And
because why couldn't you use your old card that you checked into the room with?
Yeah, you could if they programmed it to, right? They can overwrite the card. I mean,
exactly, but they don't. Every time you went in, you got a new.
Exactly.
And people want this. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, mostly everybody wants to keep their silver. I still have all my room cards.
Oh, me too. I got a pile 6 inches high.
Exactly. So do I in my drawer, but that's what I'm getting at. So they didn't want people to complain of, oh, I want my band because I remember the trip from 2014.
Right, right.
And I got this band from 2019. I got younger.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I'll bet you that'll change in the future. I mean, like you were saying, I got my annual pass band. I just love that band to be all in.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I have my annual pass bands, and it'd be nice to be able to just have everything all in one on one band. My annual passes, get into the room, my DVC discount, all that stuff. And I'm sure they have that technology. It's just a matter of, They want to keep things separate for now, but, to me, it all could be put on one, and it probably will be at some point. I mean, like you were saying with the Frozen bands that were released this weekend, I can imagine in the future that they're going to have commemorative bands, special bands. They may be $49.95 or something. They may have a, to commemorate a certain anniversary of a park or some special event that's going on, and you may want to purchase one of those bands. And it'd be a shame if you bought one of those and then they tell you, well, you really can't use it. You gotta use this gray one next time you come back or something like that,
Yeah, I think every time you're going to be out, I think what happens is, and I don't know if Pam has done that when she got down there, like I was saying before, to try to activate her other ones. But now that they're selling these, there's no way that you can't use them every year. I think you're going to have to get them reactivated every time you go down there, get them to switch everything over to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I know there's going to be a way, but what I would love to see, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a Port Orleans Riverside band or a Saratoga Springs band?
And I'm sure there will be. I mean,
that's what I'm looking for.
It's kind of like pins or other commemorative merchandise. I mean, if they can get every guest, or not every guest, but most guests, for another $12.95 or whatever the cost of the band is going to be, I mean, that's potentially millions and millions of dollars. They'll certainly do that. And there's no doubt in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's a million people out there that loves the Timekeeper and likes what's his face, Figment. And I would like to have one with the Haunted Mansion or that would be so cool to have all them, or our favorite Carousel of Progress or the TTA. And
well, if you remember when they did the media availability for the Disney community, they gave them Mine Train bands, remember?
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, they've already proven that they can and you know, make attraction-specific bands. They gave them to them as a gift, I understand, but there's no reason why, like you said, outside of the Haunted Mansion, they won't have glow-in-the-dark, you know, three hitchhiking ghost magic bands.
Exactly. It would be so cool,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
There's no doubt in my mind that's coming. I'm sure it is. And, you know, somebody that goes all the time, if you spend the extra money to get that band, you're going to want to be able to show it off and wear it. So I think you're right, Doug, that, you know, you can probably do it the way you're saying it now. But if not, it's got to be around the corner that you can, you know, get all your information on whatever band you want.
Yeah, and how cool would that be to your kid, or I'm going to say kid, but me,
right.
Laying in bed at night when you go to sleep and you still left your band on and the three ghosts light up.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be awesome. And
I'd be like, yo, Brent, look at my band. She'd be like, get the bed.
Right, right.
She'd be like, no, but the ghosts are alive.
You know, and if you think about it, yeah, and if you think about it too, like I said, it's just, you know, that's something that people, you know, again, not everybody, but there'll be a vast majority of people that will pay the extra money for these cool bands. And Disney makes out because they're not really giving you anything, because they would have gave you a gray one for free anyways.
Or one of the colors if you order before you leave.
But they're giving that to you anyways, I guess, the chip or the whatever's inside of the band. I mean, it's the same whether it's a special Haunted Mansion band or one of the gray ones or one of the colored ones. You know, they still are going to provide each member of your family that's going on the vacation with one of those. So if they get you to buy it on top of it, that's a win-win for them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the bands are endless. They could do classics. I would love to have a Steamboat Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. What about you?
Oh, I mean, I could see me getting a Walt band. You know, I mean, just think special events. If you go to, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary or something like that. I mean, it's endless. And I kind of think of it, you know, when you go to Mickey's Not So Scary, they give you the you know, those plastic bands that kind of snap mm-hmm. on. I mean, some of those had some logos and verbiage on them that, you know, said Mickey's Not So Scary. So I'm sure they can transfer artwork like that right onto the new Magic Band. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds.
Yeah, then there'll probably be a design your own one of these days.
Oh, I'm sure. And like I said, you know.
And now they're selling all the little the tchotchkes, the little hang-ons, all the little you know, extras that you can put on them.
Right.
It's a big market, this band. They're no fools. This couple billion dollars they spent to do it is going to end up making them a trillion.
Oh, when it's all said and done, it will. I mean, it's just, you know, there's been a few stumbles out of the gate here, but I think by and large, for such a complex system and as many people that are on the system, it's worked pretty well to date.
And moving forward, how do you like all the new paint scheme going on around Epcot?
Yeah, you know, at first I started seeing that a couple of months ago. They were actually doing some of it when I was down there. And at first I was like, I don't know about this. It kind of, you know, we'll leave well enough alone. But looking at some of the newer pictures I saw this morning, I don't think it looks that bad. I mean,
I'm excited to see it then, to be honest with you. Because it cleans it up. Like I always tell a customer, there's nothing like a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, it not that it hides a lot of sins, but I mean, you're right.
No.
It gives you a different perspective. And, you know, the way I look at it, they're not doing anything structural. So at some point they can go back to the traditional colors, if you will. But for right now, if they want to spruce up the park and change up the color scheme, I'm fine with that.
Well, the thing is with me is you don't, really, like, this is what gets most of my work with customers, especially when I'm doing painting and remodeling. You don't realize how bad the rooms look until you fix one.
Right, right.
So what happens is they repaint the ball, and then they realize Interventions is really dirty and Universe of Energy. You know,
right.
When you paint one building, it makes all the others. That's why Main Street and down and Disney World and Main Street at the Magic Kingdom, they redo one facade. That's why they end up having to do them all. Because it makes all the other ones start to look dingy.
Right, exactly. And, Yeah, no doubt about it. But I mean, I you know, it's something, you know, when we were talking a couple of podcasts ago about, you know, what it takes to maintain the parks and how much money it takes and all the day-to-day maintenance activities. And this is another good example. I mean, imagine the paint bill for, you know, all the paint and the colors that they're going to use for all these facades over at Epcot.
I tell people that haven't painted their house in like 15, 20 years, because that's what I end up doing, you know, because people don't – you get one customer that paints every other year, then you get everybody else that paints every 10, 15 years.
Right.
That's the average person. And you go to their house and you tell them paint now is between $40 and $50 a gallon. They look at you like you're a cyclops.
Right.
Like you have a third eye or something in the middle of your head.
They think you're still getting it for $9.99 a gallon, right?
Exactly, or 15 bucks, or, you know what
right.
I mean, something like that. No, and not just that. If you do buy paint that's $18, $21 a gallon, it takes 7 coats.
Right, right.
So you're losing it on labor. But when you tell them, okay, you're going to need – about 12 gallons of paint, $40 a gallon. They're like, what?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, people just have this misconception that paint is cheap. But as you know, you're right. Some of your higher end paint lines can run you that money.
Yeah.
Then they get the
Yeah, your middle of the road is your normal paint is $40 a gallon now.
Right.
38, 36. Now, if you want to go into Ralph Lauren or something like that,
right.
Now you're talking $65 a gallon.
And they even have the paint now that comes with the primer in it, and that's more
yeah.
per gallon. But if you can get away with one coat, it's probably worth it. But there's pros and cons to that as well.
Exactly. But the bottom line is you're talking, you know, right here, to get back to your point, there's probably tens of thousands of dollars just in paint alone.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, who knows?
Knowing
Disney, maybe they make their own paint and have their own line.
They probably do.
You know, it's probably.
But it still costs.
Yeah.
You're paying employees.
Yeah, I mean, not to get off in our contractor podcast here, but I actually took a tour of the California paint facility. It's up here right around the corner from where I live. And the guy was explaining to me is they use that facility, a lot of different paint companies across the country, like they'll order a batch of paint. Say they want 100,000 gallons of, you know, Acme paint. They'll actually put the order into California. They'll make it to their specifications, you know, whoever this other paint company is, make the label, you know, can it up and ship it out and all that. And it's all made at the California facility, but it's somebody else's paint. So Disney, in theory, could do something like that. They could have their own colors and their own specs.
They absolutely do. If you go into Home Depot, there's a whole display of all the Disney paints.
Right. Oh, yeah. Believe me. The room I'm sitting in is painted with that paint.
Yeah.
The walls are Mickey Glove white. The trim is Mickey red. And then I got some, what else do I got in here? Yeah, just the red and white, I guess. But, yeah, those are those colors at Home Depot.
Exactly. So they're all the Disney colors. So I'm sure they're probably getting all their paint supplied to them from Home Depot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, they'll probably get all their exterior paint is probably bare paint with the Disney label on it.
Yeah, and then there was,
because I have used it, it's the same consistency, if you follow me.
Yeah, and plus they're a sponsor and they do some stuff for Flower and Garden and stuff, so
exactly.
They may trade off some signage or some sort of sponsorship for, you know, they may literally give them the paint or give it to them for pennies on the dollar just for
exactly what happens.
Yeah, just for the fact that they get to advertise in Disney World.
Oh, that's the fact. They probably get whole truckloads of paint whenever they want it for, like you said, pennies on the dollar.
Right.
So I got a little dilemma here, Dan.
Go ahead.
Before we let this show go, we're going to ask our listeners for some emails, and you can email us at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. You can go over to our website and email us from here at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. You could check out, you know, you can email us from there and check out our sponsors. It's a shameless plug. But anyway, I have a buddy of mine now that he's going down. I won't mention his name. I doubt his future wife is listening to our show, but you never know. But he's going down. He's going to propose, actually, in September during Food and Wine. They're going down for that.
Nice.
And we're coming up with some ideas on what to do for his engagement. I gave him the idea of maybe doing an illumination cruise.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
rent the boat, go out, get a, because you can take a glass, a bottle of wine or champagne out there with you. You can take a snack and all, and go out and watch illuminations on the water.
Yeah.
I came up with a carriage ride through one of the resorts, and maybe sprint pop the questionnaire and go out to dinner. You know what I'm saying? Afterwards.
Right. Right.
And I came up with a few other things, you know, different areas. Like me, a romantic place for me and Brenda would be, if I was to do it, would be back by Rose and Crown Club, by the tea garden, the flower garden there, or the flower garden over by Canada, where the little cottage and all
is.
Oh,
yeah, right, right.
But I just want our listeners to come up with a few ideas and maybe email them to us.
Yeah, that would be awesome to get a perspective on maybe folks have actually experienced this themselves or have seen other guests do this, but this is quite a common occurrence, I guess, in Disney World. And, you know, I guess it would have to do with, in my view, how public you want to be with this. I mean, folks have proposed in front of the Magic Kingdom where there's thousands of people hovering around, or like you mentioned, if you did something in the tea garden over in the United Kingdom, you know, that'd be more, you know, personal, I guess. You know, there may be a few people around, but by and large, you could probably do it without much fanfare at all. So I guess it would all have to do with what you're looking for in the moment.
I mean, if you could trust a cast member, you could also have the ring brought out during dinner.
Yeah.
At one of the nice restaurants, yeah. I gave them the idea. There's so many of them. I just want to see what our listeners think. I mean, you could tweet us at, you know, WDW Main Street on Twitter, or Facebook us, you know, WDW Magical Main Street Memories on Facebook. We would love all your information. We're going to post that. We'll tweet it out and ask the question to all of our listeners. But I'd like to get some feedback from you guys. You got any ideas then?
No, I mean, you covered a good segment of them. You know, I was thinking maybe in front of the Mexico food cart over there. No, I'm only kidding. You said food and wine. I was going to be a smartass.
Yeah, you could do that.
No, no.
You could do it. What about the little Mexican River cruise? You could ask if you're going by the volcano. Or.
Well, that's a good point, though, too, that you said in doing this. I mean, you know, it's probably a moment you want to capture on film or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if whatever he decides to do, he should plan it, whether he partners up with a cast member or somebody that may be traveling in their party, to make sure they get a picture of the moment, because, you know, that's something that's, you know, likely only to happen once in a lifetime, and you definitely want to capture that. So documenting with photographs or a video or both is, to me, an important part of this as well.
Absolutely, because I thought about it too, because we were trying to get him. He's staying at Caribbean Beach, and that's where they stayed last time.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason he tried to get in Riverside, but with the free dining during Food and Wine, I couldn't get him a room there. Because I was going to, because I know some people at Riverside and stuff like that from staying there so much.
Right.
I was going to tell him maybe he proposes in one of the gazebos.
Yeah.
And then set up a cast member to, like, stand around the corner and photograph it or videotape it.
Right.
Without her knowing, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right. That makes,
which would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do the horse and carriage and then propose in front of the gazebo or something.
Yeah, I mean, the horse and carriage would probably work out well, because you could have the, you know, the coach driver, if you will, be in on it and potentially be the person to take the picture or whatever, or she or he could pull over and say, oh, we got to give the horse a rest or something, and, you know, they could do it there. You know, you could set something up good with that, I think. But again, that would be a more private moment, if you would.
Absolutely, and that would be the thing, too, with, like, the Wishes or the Illuminations fireworks. You could have the boat captain in on it.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Whoever drives the boat for you, you know, they could take pictures or video of you.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of ways to do it, and hopefully we'll hear some of those ways from our listeners this week.
Well, we appreciate your feedback, guys. It's going to be it for this week's show. And we're, like I said, these shows will be coming up shortly. I know you guys have been waiting patiently. We apologize, but we wanted to keep recording while we're doing our work on the website. So we also have new t-shirts on the website that you guys will hopefully find out about. I made my orders already. So And so me and my wife are getting our new snazzy new Zazzle t-shirt, so
nice.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to be ordering a couple too, and you know, please go to the website, check them out, and you know, hopefully we'll see you in the parks with one of those beautiful t-shirts on.
Yep, and don't forget to check our sponsors, David's Vacation Club Rentals, Scooter Vacations, if you need a quick ride around the park. And don't forget the us guys at American Tourist Travel for all your Disney travel needs. Contact one of us guys at American Tourist Travel to help you on your next Disney vacation. All right, Dan, I can't wait to talk to you next week at this bar stool. I got this week's tab for all the problems and complications we have.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
All right, buddy. Be good, and we'll talk to you guys real soon. Well, guys, that's the show for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel and Scooter Vacations. And I hope you guys tune in again next week. And thanks again. So long.